Well, thank you for the beautiful prayer. And that's what we're holding on to right now, is just praying that God will bring healing to Joshua, and pray that He'll give us the peace and the endurance to go throughout this time. And so really do appreciate, Dave, your heart and your prayer and the warmth and support of all the church. We feel it. We love you. We're thankful for you. On August 27th, 2014, a 59-year-old cancer patient was loaded into a Cessna for a medical evac from Las Cruces to Phoenix. He was in there along with a paramedic and a nurse and the pilot. And so they took off, and then shortly after takeoff, the plane started trailing smoke. And one of the people on board frantically called emergency medical dispatch to say, hey, we're having turbulence here, we're having some problems, and we're going to have to turn this plane around. They attempted emergency landing, but on impact, the plane burst into flames, and there were no survivors, killing all four on board. So what went wrong? What went wrong is that right before they took off, the pilot had ordered a refuel, and the fuel that was injected into the plane was jet fuel, as opposed to aviation gas. And that's a tragic mistake that caused the plane to malfunction and to ultimately crash, leading to loss of life. The warning here is that the wrong fuel leads to turbulence and destruction. What they hoped was a peaceful transition, a peaceful trip, one that would bring healing to this cancer patient, ended up bringing tragedy, destruction, turbulence, and death. So, as I was studying this, God just kept bringing this to mind. What are we fueling our minds with? This morning, is your life trailing smoke? Maybe you've hit some turbulence in your life, some difficult times. You're really seeking for the peace, seeking for joy, seeking for meaning in life, but you're finding a lot of pain. Not sure if you can make it. If you feel that way, then we're in for just a great encouragement this morning from God's Word. And so this is either we have the opportunity to make a correction, a course correction with our lives, or with what we're putting into our minds, or this is just a nice reminder to stay the course, protecting your mind. A couple weeks ago, we looked at anxiety. Anxiety being defined as a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And so we looked at that, and we have a prayer here that's beautifully written, that we acknowledge God's lordship and His kingship over our lives, make a presentation of our need before Him, and give Him thanks for His provision, and then also put forth specific appeals. And so that's what we looked at, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, a couple weeks ago. And so we're going to continue along these lines of moving away from anxiety, moving towards peace. Specifically, we're looking at a pathway to peace found in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. We're in the book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul from prison in 62 AD to reassure and encourage the Christians in Philippi. I just continue to take such peace, such comfort from the fact that Paul is writing this from a dark place. He's writing this from a lot of turbulence, a place where his freedom has been stripped away, and he's waiting on other people to tell him if his life's going to end or what's going to happen with his life. And so from an earthly standpoint, at least, he's writing from a position of great peril. And as yet, out of the midst of his peril, he's writing to encourage the Philippians, and there's great encouragement for us in this passage as well. So the first thing I want to look at, the pathway to peace, is one is focus. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so he gives us a principle here, some guidelines. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, and we're to think about these things. Now, we react differently to different things, and so I'm really glad that Paul gave us principles, because one person might watch a certain event and they're encouraged by it, and one person might watch a certain event and be very discouraged by it. Example, a sports game. One person might watch that and be very encouraged by it. Their team wins. And somebody else watches it and gets depressed because their team loses. So that's a kind of a silly example. And so Paul gives us principles. And so I'm going to ask 8 questions of your thought life. Because that's what Paul does for us. These 8 things, we're to think about such things. And I don't like the translation here. It's so weak. This is a present imperative verb. Fill your minds. This is like Paul saying obsess over. Be completely consumed by these things. Live your life for these things. Let your attention be constantly drawn to these things. It's take events and actions into account and reflect carefully upon them in order that they may shape your conduct. And so we're not talking about, hey, just think about these things, daydream about these things. We're talking about live, breathe, and eat these things. Like, let these things consume us, these thoughts. And these things become the lens by which we make our decisions, by which we evaluate what's good, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we should say, what we shouldn't say. This is really, really important. And so think about such things, meditate on such things, maybe even obsess on such things. Really, let these things consume us, let these thoughts shape who we are. And so the big question we have this morning is, what are we fueling our minds with? What are we thinking on? Want to throw some questions out there just to start off with that'll help us figure out where our attention is. The first is, what arrests our attention? What are the things that as you go throughout life, maybe something that you see that makes you stop and investigate further? Driving along the road, the billboard that you see, it makes you stop and question and consider. When you hear the TV kind of blurring in the background, what's the thing that makes you stop and consider that? You're surfing the internet or scrolling through a social media feed. What makes you stop? What arrests your attention? Secondly, what do we talk about? That's another good indication of where our minds are at. What are the things that we're really studying? What are the things that are coming out of our mouths? Because it's pretty much impossible if we're obsessed with something not to talk about it. And so what are the things that we're talking about? What moves us to action? What are we doing? And then what captures our hearts? Where do we find ourselves moved? And all this comes back to the what arrests our attention. And so it's really amazing that we have control over our mind. We've got control over what our eyes see, over what our ears hear, for the most part. So the first question I want to ask of things that we're looking at, is it true? Is this thing true? Is it fact? Is it conformed to reality? Is it sincere? Is it reliable? Is it genuine? Is it true? What it's not, it's not false. It's not fiction. It's not preference. It's not perception, exaggeration, rumor, or rhetoric. And sometimes it can be hard to distinguish between these two. Sometimes we just get caught up in things we don't really know. Maybe we hear a rumor, we spread a rumor, we don't know it's a rumor. We don't take the time to really investigate the truth. That's why there's such a problem with fake news. People just kind of regurgitate whatever we hear. It's just kind of human nature. We don't have to do that. And so this can be really tricky. It requires research. It requires us to really stop and consider. Are these thoughts true? Is this thing true? Now, Camila has been studying psychology for a while, and she reminded me that there's a really helpful technique called cognitive behavioral therapy. And so it's just analyzing what's going on in our minds and really looking at, are these thoughts true? Are these things true? So much of our problem comes that we don't challenge our fears, that we see the way someone reacts, And we view this reaction as, oh, the person must not like me, they must be angry at me, and we just go down a slippery slope of fear, worry, and anxiety. When in reality, maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe there's other things that are going on there. And so really challenging the fears, challenging the false perceptions we might have. And so it's really important to, of the thoughts that we allow to take residence in our minds and our hearts, and we must ask, are they true? There's a fascinating study done in 2006 by Dr. Walter Kevert. And of all the worries that we typically worry about, here's a bit of a breakdown. 40% of the worries we have never happen. What a waste. It's not to say that worry is ever productive, but it's like you're worrying about something and it's just never going to happen. That's almost half the time. So like right off the top of the things that we're worried about, we can just pretty much just chuck those. They're not true. It's not going to happen. 42% we can't do anything about. So either something in the past or something out of our control, it's meaningless. 10% are insignificant or petty that we just blow up. We blow them way out of proportion. And 8% are legitimate and true issues. And even in those 8%, it's still not worth worrying. You got to hear me. Worrying is never a good idea. But I'm just showing here that with this study that so much of our worries are based on false things or things that we can do nothing about. And so it's important for us to challenge the thoughts that come to our mind. Are they true? 92% of our worry, things we can't change or won't happen. A second thing to ask is it noble? Is it noble? Noble being worthy of respect, worthy of honor, dignified, causes people to look up. And so are these things noble? Think of the nobleman back in the first century. Somebody who would have commanded respect, who would have been in charge, been a good, honorable lord. It's not trashy, cheap, vulgar, dirty, scandalous, trivial, or animalistic. And so these are things that lift our eyes upward to God, lift our eyes upward to what is right and positive and encouraging. An example to tell if something is noble, is does it inspire hope in God? Is it something that encourages us to lift up our eyes and see the Creator who loves us, who fashioned us, who saved us, and to put trust in Him? Or is it something that directs our eyes downward so we become consumed with our troubles and our worries or anxieties of the present moment? And so much of the media that we consume is just not noble at all. So many things that gets cycled around are not noble. And so we need to really watch out for this one. Do our thoughts inspire hope in God? Thirdly, is it right or is it just? This is respecting God and people, and thinking what's right in the eyes of God and others. What it's not demonizing, it's not dehumanizing, it's not stereotyping, bringing bias or favoritism. An example of this would be might be a little scary, but if you're just kind of throughout your normal day, you're thinking along and your thought processes are just kind of going however they go, and then a fair-minded judge hit pause on your thoughts and then came in with a gavel, would they declare what you're doing is being fair-minded, impartial? Or are we allowing things of the past to taint our perspective of the future? Maybe we have a bad view of a certain group of people and we would treat them unfairly or think about them unfairly in our minds. That's not right. It's not just. That every person, every human is worthy in the sight of God. Even if they disagree, look different, talk different, think different, all life is valuable, very important. And so are our thoughts respecting God? Are they respecting people? Is it showing what's right in the eyes of God and others? Are we seeing value and fairness towards others? Or are we just trying to win arguments? Fourthly, is it pure? What this is, it's freedom from sin. It's holy in relation to God. It's sacred and without compromise. I love the term sacred. That's something I feel like is kind of lost today. That when we gather here today, there's something sacred about praising the Lord in worship. His word is sacred. And that there's something so special. It's holy, it's pure, it's wonderful, it's life-giving, it's different. And focus on these things. It's not common, It's not world-centered, double-minded, dirty, or contaminated. An example of this might be, what's the rating? I'm thankful for the MPAA ratings that we have. I'm going to be G, PG, PG-13, R, those things. Let's not forget about those. What are the things that we're consuming, that the shows we're watching, the movies we're watching, the video games that are being played? Because we can desensitize ourselves to violence. We can objectify people if we fill our minds up with garbage. And so it's really important that we have purity in our mindsets. And so keep an eye on those ratings, especially for parents and the kind of things that we're showing our kids, and especially video games and the internet, which is very important that we train our eyes to look at those things that are pure. Is it lovely? Now, what this is, it promotes unity and love, affection. It brings forth harmony and service. It's lovable. If you're a man who's married here, this is your wife. Lovely. What it isn't, it's not vengeful, it's not hateful, divisive, self-centered, or ugliness in general. And so this is promoting love. Think 1 Corinthians 13. So example, this would be romance or dating. And you think about during the romance, as you're dating someone, courting someone, it's really wanting to find out more about them and put forward a positive note, help them have a great time. It's really other-centered, and so it's lovely. Camille and I got to go on a date for the first time in a while on Friday. It was great. Go out, have some good food, and just spend time getting to know one another, and that's lovely. It was great. Sixth is it admirable? What this is, it's kind, positive, constructive, commendable, winsome, generous. It's not mundane or offensive. It's not negative, destructive. It's not selfish. And so if this thought was made public, what would the other people think about it? Would it be something that would put you off, would make you look good, make God look good, or is it something that would bring shame? Seventh is it excellent? And what this is it morally upright? Is it virtuous? Up to man's highest goal and true destiny. And I love that description of it. And this is how the Greeks would have taken this term back in the first century. Is like, this is the ultimate goal. It's not inferior, it's not half-hearted. And so a question, great question for us here is, am I embracing my God-given calling and mission? Or am I settling for something short of that? By looking at this, by ingesting this, is this going to really further my walk with the Lord and what He's called me here to do? Is it praiseworthy? Does it bring praise to God? Does it bring an attitude of thanksgiving, of joyfulness, and positivity? It's not discouraging, not circumstantial, not lacking in faith. It's also not proud, drawing attention to ourselves. It's drawing attention and praise to the Lord. Example, this might be, how does this make God look? So as you're surfing the internet, if someone finds out about that, how would that make God look? If you're watching TV and someone knows what you're watching, how'd that make God look? Are our eyes centered on bringing praise to the Lord, or are they self-centered? So what are we fueling our minds with? These are some good questions for us to ask this morning. I'd encourage us to take a mental diet, and just thinking about the cliches that are out there, things like you are what you eat, which is true, except it's given a short shrift to breathing and drinking. So technically, you are what you eat, what you breathe, and what you drink, and that's what we all are. But in the same way that our nutrition is so important for our physical health, our mental focus is critical for our spiritual health. Some things we can lean towards would be the Bible, Christian music, worship music, things that are encouraging, friends that really love the Lord, that are encouraging to us. You can be authentic with a church, both on Sunday morning, but also the internet. Nature, just being outside and seeing what God has done, books, and exercise. These are some things we can lean towards that are going to help us become more fit mentally. things we can lean away from would be excessive TV, negative people, pessimism, and unhealthy habits. And these things, the more that we get into these things, the more that we tend to reproduce these things. And then there's some things we can modify, social media and internet usage. We'll get there later on. Okay, so first is we've got to focus on things that are right, noble, true, pure, and praiseworthy. But we also need to follow. Paul says that whatever you've heard, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put these things into practice. So what have we learned from Paul? We've learned the gospel from Paul. Specifically, and of course we've got the gospel through Jesus is the one to introduce it, but Paul and Jesus through Paul bring us further clarity in what the gospel is, that we're saved by grace through faith alone, not by works. How about the acceptance of the Gentiles, which is most of us here this morning? And that Christianity was not just meant for a small sect of Jews, it was meant to be spread throughout the whole world. These are things that we've learned from Paul. We've received theology from Paul. We've received an understanding of how do we understand God from Paul. We've heard from Paul through his letters. And I love reading the letters of Paul. And the more I study him, the more amazed I am with him. The passion, the compassion that's there, the tenderness of heart, the pastoral attitude. It's just so incredible that we can open up and hear heartfelt encouragements from Paul in the 21st century. And what have we seen in Paul? We've seen someone who's worth following. We've seen somebody who's wholehearted in commitment to Christ, not dual-natured. And so what we've received, what we've heard, what we've seen, we need to put these things into practice. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. And so we're to focus on the right things. We're also to follow after Paul and put these things into practice. And how do we put these things into practice? Well, we protect our thought life. This is a good little poem of sorts written by an unknown person. You sow a thought, you reap an action. So where our minds are fixed, that's what we do. We sow an action, we reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And so our thoughts are what kicks all this stuff off. It's so important where our eyes are going. Just like a horse with the blinders on. There's certain things that we need to blind ourselves from in today and get our eyes on only what's most important, which is the objective and the calling that God has given us. And it's not only is this a command, but it's also a wonderful thing. It's for our protection and for our benefit, and that we could focus on Christ and not be consumed by the worthless things here, but have our eyes fixed on that which is positive and encouraging and true and worthwhile and meaningful. So we're to focus on these things and follow Paul's example. We're also to fellowship. Here you have in Philippians 4:9, and the God of peace will be with you. And this is similar to Philippians 4:7, where it says, the peace of God will be with you, will guard your hearts. But here it's the God of peace will be with you. This is the ultimate goal. This is the dream of all of us. And all of us have been separated from God because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. We are meant to walk in pure, perfect fellowship with God. That's our destiny. That's our hope, is to be with Him. No purities, no sickness, no pain, no evil, just complete, pure, wonderful fellowship with the Lord. That's our goal. That's our hope. And here, Paul's saying that if we do these things, if we fix our eyes on what's pure and right, and we follow Paul's example, then the God of peace will be with us, guarding our hearts, guarding our minds. We can have fellowship with Him, giving us a peaceful, joyful, meaningful life that we can live. So we decide what we put in our minds. This is something that we start with our mind. We could focus on our fears, trivialities, negativity, self-centeredness, things that are not eternal, passing fads, or we could focus on what's true, what's noble, what's right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Now, everyone who has professed faith in Jesus for salvation is saved. Everyone who relies upon the grace of the Lord alone for salvation is saved. But here what it's saying is that it's not a matter of salvation, it's a matter of we can draw near to God or push him away by our thought life. God does not dwell with darkness. And if we allow our eyes to focus on the things that are dark, if that's where our hearts are, if we're filled with darkness, we're going to be pushing God away. He's not going to be with us in the same way that he would otherwise. We're not going to be walking with him as we're supposed to. That's grieving the Spirit. We can look at the same event from two different perspectives, leading to radically different outcomes. And we can ask, why God is this pain introduced into my life? Why is this situation happening? Or we can ask, God, what do you want me to learn through this? We can have an attitude of fear and anxiety, or one of trust and peace. And just a personal example, I've really been struggling with this a lot recently because of what's been going on in our family. And so, as you know, and as we prayed, Camille and I were very excited to welcome our third son into the world, and he was born with a lot of challenges. And so from not being able to breathe when he was born and going to the hospital and going to the NICU, spending 3 weeks there between here and Shands, we could ask, why God? Why God have you done this to me? Why have you done this to us? That's one way that we could interpret this. He also then relapsed after he got let go. He was swallowing, eating on his own. We had all these miraculous improvements in his heart. And then relapsed. And so we could focus on how woe is us. We had this thing happen to us. And then he has to go back to the hospital. Another way to look at it is that when he stopped breathing, he was at a hospital. And so we can praise God because of just the way that God's providing, even in the midst of the difficulties. We can look at the family strain and how it's Camille and I have to spend the night in separate locations as we look after our three sons most of the time. That's brought a lot of strain on the family. Another way to look at it is praising God for the amazing family that he's given. That I prayed for a godly wife for 10 years. And then God, every day. And then God answered that with Camila and with some amazing boys. And so God has blessed me so much and blessed us so much with each other that he's not going to let this break us. Joshua is likely going to have special needs. There's anomalies on his 13th chromosome, and we're trying to figure out from there what's happening. He's probably going to be weaker and have some muscular difficulties. He may be able to live to the 40s or 50s or beyond, and that's a good thing. And so why we could be asking God, why would you give us a special needs child? Flip side is, Joshua is very special. He's a beautiful, wonderful life. As my father says, told me right after he's born, he's beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made. And all life is a miracle. And so we get the treasure. We have the incredible opportunity to shepherd and protect this beautiful young life. And so you can kind of have this woe is us mentality versus one where we just move forward. Another thing is medical costs. And we're just waiting for those bills to come in. We have insurance. We don't know what's covered, what's not covered. We're just trusting God. But we can either be overcome by that stuff, or we can just simply trust that God's going to provide. And so we're going to try to opt to look at this event through God's eyes, as opposed to one that's self-centered and selfish. The challenge today is to take control of our thought lives. And so maybe there's something similar to Joshua going on in your life, maybe a health difficulty that you're going through, or financial strain, or family strain, or things like that are happening. And we have the opportunity to take control of our thought lives today. And so whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, we can meditate on these things. And ultimately, of course, all of this is perfectly fulfilled in the man Jesus Christ. That no matter what's happening, we can always look to Christ as the one who gave his life for us. And that's our destiny, is to be with him forever in heaven, worshiping for all eternity through Jesus and Jesus alone. Some things that we might look at adding would be add more Bible or Christian music or friends, church, nature, books, exercise. If there's any of these things that stick out to you, if you wouldn't mind, just write that on your outline. really, really hope that this is something where we're not just simply spewing Bible or theology, but something where we can really take practical ideas and move forward with those. So maybe there's one of these things on this list or something else that you can add to your life to help you take control of your thought life. Maybe there's things that you can subtract. Whether it be excessive TV, negative people, pessimism, or unhealthy habits. Do you know the average amount of time a household spent in 2017 watching the TV, according to Nielsen ratings? 7 hours, 55 minutes per day the TV is on. And this is the actual information that was received by Nielsen. Now, some of them might have a TV running in the background, but still, just shocking how much time we waste and how much we're focused on things that are just going to distract us. There's not a whole lot going on TV today that's noble, pure, right, true. Just not. There's some, but there's not a whole lot. And so our time should probably be less than this, a whole lot less. I'm so grateful that we cut the cord entirely. Now, we still have Netflix and some other things, but still, we're not sitting behind the TV watching ads and all these things going on. One other thing that I want to bring to your attention is modify. This is so cool. This is something that's really revolutionized my existence over the last couple weeks. Do you know you can modify your social media experience? It's wonderful. For example, let's say that you love your church. And you know we've got a church Facebook page, Christ Community Church. You can go to our page on Facebook and you can select, you can go and click on the following icon. And we'll take a little zoom in there. And so you can choose see first. And then the encouraging scriptures and thoughts that are sent out into the Facebook by this church will show up first in your newsfeed. And so you can do that with all kinds of ministries that you support or that you care about or that you love. Notice also there's the unfollow up there. And so if anyone in particular is spewing all kinds of negativity or you don't like this, you can just hit that unfollow button and they won't know the better. And so this is a great way to help with the things that are going on in your life and what you're looking on social media. Another thing is YouTube. And so you can click on the upper right-hand corner. You see that red subscribe button? You can click on that. And then, see, now we're subscribed to the Dallas Theological Seminary podcast. And so you can be encouraged by all kinds of great theologians that are preaching there. And then you can even click on that little alarm bell. And then you'll be notified whenever an encouraging thing comes out. So these are just a couple examples of how we can really encourage our thought life and fix our eyes on what's good. Let's pray. Father, this morning a lot of us have had some turbulence in our lives. And our lives might be trailing smoke, going through difficulties, just feeling uneasy, feeling like this world is too much for us, full of anxiety and fear. And God, I pray that you'd help us to focus our eyes on your truth, focus our eyes on your encouraging word. We might be uplifted by the ultimate truth that we have in you, that in all things, you're working for our good. That you've forgiven us, you love us, we can be at peace with you, we can go to sleep every night, resting in you. We pray that you give us the strength to follow you with all that we are, to put these things into practice, not just simply hear about them or show up, but actually have the strength to go about living our lives in a way that's honorable to you. There's a lot of us that should be very convicted about our thought life this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work your Holy Spirit to bring conviction where it should be, but also to bring hope that there's healing and there's correction that we can make. Lord, above all, we pray for fellowship with you, that we would sense your presence, that you, the God of peace, would be with us throughout our difficulties, and throughout all the struggles that we have in life, that you'd fill us with your presence, giving us your peace and your love. And we need you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a privilege to worship with you this morning. So glad that you could join us. And just want to leave on such a positive note. This is something we can do. We can take control of those thoughts, the things that we're exposing our minds to and our hearts to. And there's something so much greater that God wants for us than to be caught up in things of the world that just weigh us down. Want to just say thank you to Allie and the Women's Pregnancy Center for being here. It's such a great ministry and the miracle that life is. And so please feel free to talk with her as you leave. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right or just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Put them into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. We're dismissed.